The topic for today is shamed. And this is particularly related to the parasha. Remember that we have the advantage, the first thing on a Sunday morning, we have the advantage of thinking about the next week's parasha, right? You think you just got it. You think you just covered Vayishlach. And we're already in Vayeshev. So we're already starting the week on the right footing. Now, the reason why this topic of shamed is related to Vayeshev is a very interesting one. And that is the following. There's a story that Gemara tells us, you have to try to imagine what the story means. Says the Gemara in source one. This is Gemara b'Metzia. Darash Rava, my desiv uvitzil is simchu v'ne'esavu, that people are enjoying this a certain suffering. Kiru v'loydamu, Amar David. Livnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, David HaMelech says to God, Golov Yadu Lefonecha Shema Yu Makarin B'sori Lo Yu Domi Shoses La'aretz. If they were to cut up my flesh, my blood wouldn't even reach the ground. V'loy Oid Elo Afilu B'Shah She'oskim B'Negoyim V'Alois. David HaMelech says, you know what, I'll be giving a shir, and the shir will be in an esoteric fashion talking about Negoyim and Alois, right? Those are the masechtas nobody signs up for when it comes to Mishnayos signups, right? That's the toughest of the tough. Got nothing to do with anything practical in terms of David HaMelech's personal life. And what would happen? There'd be somebody at the back of the shir and he'd put up his hand and say, David, Habal Eishas Ish Misasa Bama. It's curious. You know, David HaMelech. It seems to me very connected to Nagayim and Olos. But what's the punishment for a person who, you know, has a relationship with a married woman? You know, there'll be a silence in the shir, and then David HaMelech would say, well, he said, you know, David HaMelech would respond, he says, it is a capital punishment, but in the end of the day, there is actually a reward in the world to come. But a person who publicly embarrasses another person, you know, he doesn't even have that. And so David HaMelech was obviously tortured. People in his generation were obviously giving him an extremely hard time. And the Gemara, in fact, takes the ruling out of here that, and this is the line before the Gemara starts in our source, is that perhaps it's noach for a person to have a sofek eshes ish than even malvim p'nei v'chaver abarabim. Now, that line does not make it to many halachic svarim. Okay, but it's showing you the grade. It's showing you how powerful and dangerous Malvim Pnei Chaver Barabim is. Okay, so before anybody draws conclusions, the next line is something which does make a little more traction. That is Omer Mar Zutra Bar Tuvia, Omer Rav Omri La, Omer Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Omer Rav Shimon Chasida. Okay, Omri La, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. So there's a number of different attributions to the statement. Noach Loy La Adam. This also happens to be a Gemara in Brachos and Saita, and also in Psachim, if I'm not mistaken. Noach Loy La Adam Shiapil Atzma Veblekiv Shana Eish Val Yalbin Pnei Chavera Barabin. Person, it is better for a person to Yapil Atzma. How's how you translate that? Throw himself. Okay, just interesting. It might be more passive than active here. Okay, just have to think about this in a moment. A person should either throw themselves or allow themselves to be thrown into a fiery furnace rather than embarrassing somebody else in public. How do we know? Minalon de mitamar. Ah, it actually is related to Parshas Vayeshev, right? And that is what happens. Dichsev he would say v'hi shilcha el chamia. So she's being taken out, and what does she do? She sends to her father-in-law, or perhaps now her husband. What does she send him? She sends him all of the signs that he gave him. Right. So the Gemara draws the conclusion that Noach Lod Adam, that a person should be Yapil Atzmon Ali Kivshon Eishval Yalvin Pnei Chaver Abarabim. Now, where's just the logic first? What's the logic? How do we learn that out of there? In the end of the day, did she go into the fiery furnace? No. So how do we learn out? How do we learn out anything from here that a person should rather die?
She was prepared.
But how do we know she was prepared? She, in the end of the day, she did respond. So how do we see that she would have?
She didn't name him.
Okay, good. Exactly. So you see over here is the way that she identifies Yehuda is in a way that he could have deferred it. Right? So just because she sent back these items, right, you know, Yehuda could have denied that. Right? Meaning she did it in a way which was not accusatory to the degree that Yehuda could have ignored it, and his conscience would have bothered him the rest of his life, but he wouldn't have been publicly shamed and she would have been burnt on the stake. Right? So that's the Gemara draws the conclusion. She was prepared, meaning even though she did defend herself, she did it in a way that Yehuda could brush aside. So because it was Berimiza, it was in a hinting. That's what the Gemara concludes from over here, which is an incredible statement. Now, by the way, you hear Yapil might mean now. Doesn't mean to say that tomorrow is going running to jump in the fire. It means to say that she is allowing herself to be taken into the fire in order to avoid Malvin Panei Chaver Barabim. That's what the Gemara concludes. And the question really you have to understand is where do we have such severity? This sounds like what's called Yarog Val Yavo, right? This sounds like let yourself die, don't transgress the Avera. Wow. I mean, you don't find that with too many mitzvahs. And the question, where is the source for that? So in order to understand that, what we need to try to do is to try to work out what the source for this Isser is in the first place. Right? Let's you sort of click the hyperlink. So, okay, Malvin Panei V'Chaver Barabim, open up the encyclopedia. What does it say over there as to why we're not allowed to do this in the first place, which might give us a inkling into why perhaps Tamar took it so severely, and perhaps the Gemara reflects on that. So source number one, the Rambam tells us, well, how do we know that we're not allowed to embarrass people publicly? He actually counts it as a separate mitzvah. HaMitzvah Shin Gimel, the 303rd mitzvah, loita say, the 303rd negative command, he says, Hiranu Shiloi Levayash Ksasai Kasasainu Lakasasainu. We're not allowed to embarrass one another. Vizea Avon Ashi Yikru Luf Oyosain. This is a Mishnah in Avos and a Gemara in Bava Metzia. And, okay, and there's a few other places. Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim. Embarrassing people publicly. Vazhara Sheboa Bozer. Who Omroi. And the warning for this is, as said, Hoicheach Toicheach Zamisecha Veloisis Sa Alochet. Very interesting pasuk. You should rebuke your friend, meaning you see somebody doing something wrong. So don't stand idly by, right? Tell him, right? Tell him what he should be doing. You're doing him more of a favor by actually telling him the truth. However, the pasuk ends with, but don't bear sin because of him. Now, what's the pshat of that pasuk? Well, what do you think the pasuk's trying to convey to us on a level of pashtus? Don't bear sin because of him. Because what was that? That's not necessarily, the pashtus of the pasuk. I would say, what's loisis alav chet?
Don't stand on the
process. Okay. So. Okay, yeah, so that's going in the same direction as Mr. Siegel, which is, meaning the way you do it should be, okay, so that's the way I hear you taking the Pasha Sakra, which is a possibility, it might be a drush.
But Aray Gunzel is there, so therefore, if you don't prevent him, you're partially responsible.
Okay, so another option of taking this Pasuk is what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, is that by ignoring him, what's going to happen? He's going to continue, but in a certain sense, you bear the responsibility. Right? This comes back to bystander effect here, which is what we talked about a little bit yesterday. Is by turning the blind eye, you, in a certain sense, have now become a shareholder in what he's doing. To a certain degree, you might not be a majority shareholder, but you certainly have some element of control, or you have some form of investment in his actions. Wow. That might be part of the chat. The Rambam says, quoting the Sifra, he says, "With Sifra minayin, im hoichachnu arba v'chamisha pamim yasov yachiach." The Gemara says that you should do it even four or five times. People are pretty stubborn; they don't like to listen to these kind of things. Talmud lema hoichach tochiach yochol afilu im moichicho uponav mishtanois. You should maybe do it to the point where his face changes, meaning what? You're embarrassing him. Maybe meaning how far? The Gemara is trying to give you the degree of how far you go. Talmud lema leisis alav chet. So the Gemara says that you should not bear a chet based on him, and that is as Baruch and Mr. Siegel are saying, which is in the process, don't hurt him. Right? You need to be doing it in a way which is gentle. Also, you need to be doing it in such a way because people don't listen if you're not gentle. If you're going to be telling somebody, you know, you're wrong, you're terrible. They're not going to listen. It doesn't work. Number one. But also, it's going to embarrass him, and so therefore, it is an issur in that. And the Rambam says, "Omnam apshad me'apasuk hu shehizir shloi tachshav eloi avon benafshach avatiz kareu." The pshad apasuk might be that don't ignore him and then keep thinking, "Ah, he's a terrible person." But you could have done something about it. Right? But that's the in the end of the day, the Rambam says, "What's this? What's the makor for embarrassing people? Is loisus alav chet?" Don't embarrass people. And number two says this, just to get the other side of this over here. The other possibility which exists in the poskim is the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is talking about a more general mitzvah, and that mitzvah is Shelo lahoinos echad biYisrael midvarim. Don't hurt others with words. Now what is this? What is this mitzvah? We're not going to do the whole thing, but he says the following. The mitzvah is not to, remember this is his definition stage of the Sefer HaChinuch, not to hurt others with words. And he has no way to defend himself against it. The Gemara gives a few examples. Notice it's also in Bava Metzia Nun Ches. Okay, so by the way, just interestingly enough, this whole sugya of Anas Devarim, of hurting others with friends, appears in the same section as the Gemara, which talks about embarrassing people publicly. Right? We're in Nun Tes in Rav Metzia. This is Nun Ches. It's all part of the same sugya. He says, "Im haya bal tshuva lo yamar lo yizachur ma'asech harishonim." If a person had a journey to make in their religious life, don't go over to them and say, "So remember McDonald's or whatever else it is." There's a shul in Chicago which we used to daven in, and happens to be a shul where the a lot of people were balei tshuva, and it happens to be that the shul that there was a store which used to be a non kosher pizzeria on Tui, and so anyway, so some of the people would remember that their parents would take them there to the pizzeria before it was a shul. So the point is, you're not supposed to go up to a person and ask them, you know, shoot the breeze about their past life. So that was fine. It was fine. We used to talk about this at the back of the shul. Those days, I used to be able to sit at the back, and it was don't remind me of my past, right? He says, if a person is sick, don't be like the friends of Eov and start saying, you know what, it must be a punishment. You know, there must be something that you need to fix up. That's not appropriate, right? That's just not the appropriate way of dealing with things. You see, this is another form of it. You see that there are people who are trying to collect produce. They're trying to collect the material necessary to sell. So, you know, go to 526 XYZ lane, and you know that the person over there simply doesn't have it. So they're going to knock on the door, and the guy's going to be like, "I wish I could help you, but..." You don't walk into a store and you say, you know, so how much, you know, this, you know, I'd like to buy this Audi, and how much is it? And you say, I'm just, you know, just asking just for, you know, don't lead a person on. And to the point where you think that they think that you're going to buy it, and then you say, well, that's very nice, thank you for telling me all about that, and you walk out. But those are like different permutations. Shorish mitzvah zu yodua, the basis of this mitzvah is ki hu laseis shalom ben abrios. Hashem wants us to have peace between friends. V'godol ha-shalom sheboi habrocha mitzuya bo'olam v'koshe ha-machlaikes. Kamaklolos ha-kamotakolos tluyos. Boy, there's so many things that the machlaikes generate. And now, midinei ha-mitzvah, the last section, kama azoros ha-kama zrizim zirruzin shizirano zichron nivrocha binyon zeh shalo lahachiv abrios b'shum dovar v'lo levayshom. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, part of the dinim of Ona'as Devarim, of hurting other people with words, is embarrassing people publicly. So as opposed to saying it's its own rubric, says the Sefer HaChinuch, it actually falls under the category of, the general category of not hurting people with words. Now these are the two different sources which are pointed to in the Rishonim. Problem is neither of these are going to give us a good case for what Tamar did. And in the end of the day, generally speaking, any mitzvah falls in the face of death. right? You need to do anything you can in order to be able to survive, you do whatever is necessary to be able to survive, and that means to say forfeiting any mitzvah under regular circumstances, except for three particular sins: avodah zarah, gilui eras, and shvichas damim. Right, the three cardinal sins. Anything else falls by the wayside. So this doesn't justify it. The Rambam, the Sefer Achinuch, don't make the cut. I mean, it's very interesting to know where the Isra comes from in the first place, but it doesn't really make the cut. Just as a footnote, the Barabim doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be in a stadium just to Barabim. The Gemara actually learns out that the Habonis Pevenei Rabba Chavera Barabim comes in the form of even three people, because we know by the Loshon Hara that we say that once something's hit three people, it's become mainstream, because that's all you need for it to be community-wide, right? We know how these things work, right? So therefore, I don't remember who says this, is that one of the Achronim says that therefore all you really need is the embarrassee, the embarrasser, and somebody, one other person watching, in order to be considered really public. So
that's before Facebook.
That was before Facebook. You have an active audience of hundreds of thousands, right? So it's interesting, But as you see, it's not clear from over here. Any other questions before we take the next stage? Okay, this is just setting the stage in terms of trying to understand what's going on over here.
Moshe's question: is the Rambam saying that he gets it from Hochech Tochech, and the whole thing of Tamar does not apply?
Not clear. The Rambam doesn't seem to mention Tamar, which is interesting. By the way, we have to think about that. The Rambam omits this Gemara of Noach Lala Adam, right? And we're going to have to wonder if the omission of the Rambam, you see, the Rambam is so particular, the Rambam is so medactic, that sometimes we can learn from the omissions of the Rambam the psak of the Rambam. So the fact that the Rambam, when quoting the Salocha, is only quoting Hochech Tochech as a Misech of Elasi Salah of Chait, maybe the Rambam, in fact, is disagreeing with the severity of the conclusion drawn by the Gemara. That's something we have to consider. And actually, when we get there in just a few minutes, the Minchas Asher is going to get to in just a few minutes. The Rav Asher Weiss does go in that direction, because this is going to be a very difficult case. So, continuing in, now we need to actually delve into this. How literal is this? And really, there's before we even get to how literal, there's a very good question. Is that it seems that the Gemara does take this very seriously. The Gemara is framing this Isser in the way that you'd frame a Yarog Val Yavor, one of the three main sins. And you have to ask yourself, is this a fourth one? Is this a new category of sin that a person is so desperate that a person needs to allow themselves to be killed rather than do this? So perhaps one way to understand this is the Gemara just earlier on, which is a famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Nun Chesam Beis, which it says in Source 4, Tani Kamei de Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kol Amalvim Bnei Chaver Baravim Kilu Shofech Damim. Ah, so the Gemara says is maybe offering an explanation. You know what? Why is it perhaps that person should sacrifice themselves rather than embarrass somebody else? Because embarrassing somebody else is like killing them. It's like killing them themselves. So, and how does the Gemara learn this? It says, because Amalei, Shapiko Amat, the Gemara says, the response of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak to the person teaching this teaching said, you said, well, why? Dechazin Alei, De'azil Sumka V'asi Chivra. That when a person is embarrassed, what happens is that the redness of their face drains and they become white. Now, just physiologically, the last time you saw somebody embarrassed, right, they usually go red, interestingly enough, right? You see, they go red around the cheeks. All you need to do is watch a good talk TV show, you know, with a good anchor. And when somebody doesn't know what they're talking about and they're on the show, you can see this actively. It's terrible to see to see a person becoming embarrassed when they don't know what they're speaking about. And so the person usually flushes, right? So what's the Gemara talking about? Meaning, by the way, why is the Gemara saying that? What's Rav Yisrael trying to explain? Well, what's he trying to say? It's like, yeah, but why? So why is it like death?
Because your blood is draining.
You're draining the blood. Okay, that's what he's trying. What he's trying to say is it's like you've actively drained the blood in his face. That's what the Gemara is trying to say. But we say, oh, the reality isn't that way. Says the Bartanur, Rav Avadia Bartanur, the Mishnah and Avos,
The Mishnah Rabbah says, Amalim Penei Chavei Barabim, that and the conclusion of the Mishnah is, person who embarrasses his friend publicly, one of the people who doesn't have a share in the world to come, is of Amis Bayesh Ponov Madimos Tchilov Achokach Mislabnos. Says the Baritanura, yeah, but you know what? There's two stages. There's first a reddening and then a whitening. How does that happen? Shanefesh yesh lo shtei tnuos, achas lachutz ve'achas lifnim. I'm not sure, fully sure what he's trying to say over here. There is an outward and inward expression. He says the initial reaction is that, you know, it's almost like a fight mechanism where all the blood rushes to your face. You're trying to, there's an anger, that it's a confusion. He says, when the person doesn't know how to respond, he realizes there's nothing he can do, that point is when the blood drains. He says at that point, then that blood drains, and that's the point that the Gemara is identifying as being the point where you're killing him, right? So that's what the Gemara says. Now, if this is true, then if this is a 1-to-1 equation, then you can say, well, yes, then essentially, Malim Penei Chaver Barabim is not a new category, but it is actually murder. So of course, when it comes down to it, a person is in the situation the Gemara talks about. Somebody claps the gun to his head and says, "The options are for the following: you kill, you kill this guy over here. You kill Fred, you're done. What's the answer? The answer is, you allow yourself to be killed. You can't go kill him, right? That's what the Gemara says. Is that what's happening over here? That's what sounds like the Gemara is saying over here. So how literal really is this? In fact, the most logical, and is what sounds to us more, perhaps more instinctive, is what the Meiri says. The Meiri says a very simple thing. The Meiri in Brachos, because this is one of the places that this appears, the Meiri is one of the later Rishonim, he says the following, La'olam yizayir adam shelo yalbim penei chaver barabim derech tzachus amru. Derech tzachus. Derech tzachus means to say it's metaphoric, it's an hyperbole. What the Gemara is saying is giving you a statement which is trying to tell you the severity, but it's not telling you that this is the halacha. This is not the halacha. What at all says the Meiri? It's derech tzachus that noach lo adam. That's perhaps why it says noach lo adam. It doesn't say you have to. It doesn't say this is what you must do. What does it say? Noach lo adam is better. Says the Meiri, this is not halacha. That's perhaps why the Rambam doesn't even quote it, right? The Rambam simply says, he quotes the regular Makor, which is Lois Sala of Chet. That's what the Meiri says. So the Meiri completely dismisses this. What's the problem then? What's the problem? So what was Tamar doing, right? Do we have to think about that for a moment? So what exactly was Tamar doing, right, in the end of the day, right? The incident exists. So that's something we have to think about within this approach of the Meiri. However, what is terrifying to note is that the majority opinion of the Rishonim is not this way. Listen to this Tosfos. Tosfos says in Soto, this is the other place the Gemara appears, by the underline, three lines in, Vini says, V'nireh, ha'adolei choshiv lei b'hadi gil averois, shein omdos omdim v'nei pikoach nefesh, avoyres kechovim gil aras u'shichus domim. Says Tosfos, why is embarrassing people publicly not included in one of the three cardinal sins as listed in the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Why not? He says, because Mishum Daveras Alboras Ponim and Mufureshis Batara. It's not explicit in the Torah. Velo Nokat Ela Averos Mufureshis, and it only takes the explicit ones. Whoa, wait a second. Let's think about this Tosfos for a moment. So therefore, is Alboras Pene Echaver Barabim, is embarrassing actually one of the cardinal sins that's Yarok Vayal Yavor? Answer is?
Yes,
but just isn't credited as such because it's not explicit. Wow. Right, you see, this Tosfos is taking the statement very seriously. The only reason it's not included in the list is because of a technicality. It's not explicit. But when it comes down to it, right, bottom line, tires meet the road, what's going to happen is, this will be, it sounds like from Tosfos, Yarok V'Yavo, good old-fashioned Yarok V'Yavo. That's what this Tosfos says. Additionally, Rabbi Yonah in Shari Tshuva says the following. Also, he says the following. He says in Kuf Lamed Zayin, this is in his Sefer Shari Tshuva in the third Shar. He says, Hasholosh Averos and Nizkaros, there are the three main sins. However, Hatzara Kal Shebohem, Anshoy Chomo Mikam Averos Chomoros. There is what's called a Tzara Kal. A tzarakal is a derivative. It's a, we'll call it a, you know, it'll be that avera light. It'll be that avera to a lesser degree, but it's very serious as well. And that derivative is called the dust of the avera, right? It's some sort of expression of it. V'amru, example. Let's say a person is in a deadly ill situation and they need something to heal them. So in general, the rule is, do anything, right? A person's in a life-threatening situation. However, says the Gemara, there's an exception. Don't use the wood of an Asherah tree. An Asherah tree is a tree they used to serve. So the way they used to serve it was not by cutting it down. They used to serve it intact. But let's say you have the wood of that tree and you're going to use that wood to, let's say, cook up the broth necessary to heal this person. Says the Gemara, you shouldn't do that. If that's going to be the step necessary to take, don't do it. Wait a second. You're not serving that tree. You're cutting it down and burning it, right? Says the Gemara. If that's the only option, you don't take that option. Unbelievable. Why? You aren't serving Avodah Zorah by burning up that tree and using it to cook you the broth to save the person. Why? Because it is so closely related to Avodah Zorah, it's considered the dust. It's the extension, it's the derivative of Avodah Zorah, which has a similar law. Unbelievable, right? Similarly, he says, jumping to the next pasuk, he says, relates a case where a person has a particular desire for a married woman. And the doctor said, look, this guy, whatever it is, on a psychological, physical plane, this person is sick to the point that he's going to die if there's nothing that happens between the two of them. So the Gemara says, well, maybe she should just stand in front of him in an unclothed state, at least, you know, that maybe to save his life. The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, not at all. No, his life isn't worth that. He says, the Gemara goes to the point that it won't even allow the person to have a conversation with her from behind the fence. That's how far it's the end of that perek in Sanhedrin. Is that the Gemara says, when it comes to what's called avak egilo arayos, we don't make concessions. And therefore, comes to the third avera. What's the third avera? Says the Shari Tshuva, what's the avak ritzicha? Is embarrassing a person. Kiponov yachuru, his yichavru, his face will whiten. Venos mariha adam, and that life force is going to drain from his face. V'domel ritzicha, it's similar to murder. And therefore he goes on and he quotes this Gemara. Says the Shari Tshuva, sounds like he's taking this pretty seriously. That, in the end of the day, It's considered, it's avak ritzicha. And what's the law about it? Avak is yarog val yavor. That's what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. These are the two predominant rishonim, the Tosus and the Shari Tshuva. The Meiri came a lot later, and the Meiri is not always extant in a lot of the sources. And so the question is that when it comes down to halacha, right, we can't leave this room until we work out what is right. Hopefully, we're never going to have to go. Never have to enter these situations. But bottom line, what is the halacha in this case over here? Okay, now what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to wrap up this in halacha. How does this play itself out in halacha, in fact? One very interesting application in perhaps the most extreme expression of this in halacha is to be found in the Chochmas Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Kluger's notes on Shulchan Aruch, and he says the following very interesting revolutionary chiddush. A chiddush so revolutionary that, in fact, most of his followers, contemporaries, and people after him said that this was too revolutionary and they rejected it. And he himself really suggests that. And that is the following. He says, what's the halacha? A person's walking on the riverbank and he sees a person who is drowning. Chas v'shalom. He looks into the river. What is he supposed to do? He is mechuyev to save that person. A person is expected to jump in, to do whatever he possibly can for that person. However, the question is, what happens if the individual is walking along the riverbank, has got a well-corroborated history of sinking to the bottom of any body of water that he's ever walked into and has never taken swimming lessons, and the greatest likelihood is that by him jumping into the river, he will be the second person requiring saving in just a few minutes' time. So says the none of the posts can say that in that case, a person is not required to go jump into the river. A person is not required to put their life at risk when when saving another person's life. So says Rav Shlomo Kluger, if we're going to take the Shari Tshuva and the Meiri, the Shari Tshuva and Tosfos' approach to the fullest degree, what the conclusion you may draw, if you really understand that Abonos Pnei Chavera Barabim is considered like murder, then in this case, what would happen if you have a person who is an honorable person wearing his finest clothing, walking along the riverbank, and what is at stake for him jumping in is his own honor. He's going to look like a shmata when he walks out of that river. Says the Chochma Shlomo, maybe what you would say is, well, in this case, being as he has to embarrass himself publicly in order to avoid this, and to avoid saving somebody else, maybe you'd say, well, it's similar to the case of putting one's life at risk to save somebody else, and one would be potter. Zokein v'enoklifi kvodoi. A person who's it's below his dignity to save somebody else's life, maybe he'd be exempt. He himself says this may not be true, and it's definitely not accepted la halacha, but that's perhaps one of the first extremes that you see this halacha being drawn, is if you really say that, in fact, that Arbonos Pnei Chaveroi Barabim is considered like actual killing, then perhaps how far do you go? And that's perhaps the first we see. Interestingly enough, in the Tshuvos of the later Achronim, you see some very interesting things appear. In the Binyan Siyon, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, also the author of the Aruch Laner from Germany, or Prussia, he says a very, very fascinating thing. He quotes the Tevas Goymer. The Tevas Goymer is actually the book on Parsha authored by the Prima Godim. The Prima Godim was one of the foremost commentators on the Nois HaKelim Shulchan Aruch. He has a commentary called Eish L'Avram on the Magen Avram, Mishpat Zov on the Taz. He has really, across all of Shulchan Aruch, an incredible depth and breadth. And he has a book on the Torah called the Tevas Goymer. And he says an interesting thing. He says that it doesn't make sense in the first place, the whole proof that is brought from Tamar and Yehuda. Because think about it for a second. The halacha is the following. That if a person has a gun clapped to their head, and they say it's either Fred or you, you can't go kill Fred, you have to sacrifice your own life. That's the halacha. But what happens if, says Tosfos in Pesachim asks, what happens if the instance was that a person is going to be allow themselves to be thrown onto a child, and thereby suffocating that child. Terrible circumstance. Or to allow it to be killed. So the alternatives here are the following. To kill, but in a passive manner, meaning to allow a person to allow themselves to be the vehicle of death. Or to be killed. In that case, Tosfos is a person would not be expected to give up their lives, because it's not active killing, it's passive killing. Taking that note, the Prima Godim says that in the case of Yehuda and Tamar, it is clear that her actions to embarrass Yehuda were passive. They weren't active. She wasn't actively embarrassing Yehuda, and therefore, it would be actually mutter for her. It would be mutter for her in that case, therefore, not to die and embarrass him passively, if you draw the parallel to the fullest degree. And therefore, says the Prima Godim, Tamar's actions, therefore, were lifnim mishuras adin. They were beyond the letter of the law. And in that instance, therefore, we can't learn anything out of it. He leaves it in a tzarichi on how the Gemara, how the Tosfos drew this as a halachic conclusion from this Gemara itself. That's Adkan the Divrei Prima Godim. Doesn't think that this is, therefore, a tenable source for this halacha. Interestingly enough, the Aruch Laner, the Binyan Siyon himself, disagrees and points out that Tamar's actions were very much active. In the end of the day, her saying something is actually an action. It's just as bad as actually pulling that trigger in the parallel to the murder. Therefore, he disregards that. And if you take a look at the end of Source 9, you'll see the Binyan Siyon concludes a somewhat lengthy tshuva. He says, "V'yatzalanu lefi zeh, we come out according to this, de'im yochol lahatzil atzma mimisa, al yedei sheyavayash godol akoton." That if a person's able to save themselves from death via embarrassing somebody, now notice he says, Godol or Koton, a person who's already a grown person or a minor, Demargish Babusha. A person has to feel the embarrassment. Right? Notice that a person has to actually be a person who's susceptible to embarrassment, b'fnei shnei Yisrael, in front of two Israelites, that's his threshold, chayav limsor atzmoy lemisa, v'lo yavayashoy, and you shouldn't embarrass him. Aval b'pnei katan shenu margesh b'busha, amrino and yavor val yarog. But if you have a child, let's say, who doesn't necessarily feel the embarrassment to the same degree, then in that case, the person shouldn't lose their life by embarrassing the child. V'yashoyin, and the person who's sleeping, yesh lo din gadol, damavayash is yashoyin chayav. And a person who is sleeping is considered like an awake person, because when he wakes up, he'll be just as embarrassed. Adkan the Binyan Sion. What does he say? He says the most remarkable thing in Halacha. He takes the Shari Shuva. He takes the Tosas, La Halacha, that the din of Malvin Penecha Vera Barabim has the Halacha of Yarok Val Yavor, that a person should rather lose their life, sacrifice their own life, rather than embarrassing another person, taken literally to that degree. Unbelievable chiddush from the Binyan Sion, but following through from what seems to be the majority ruling of the earlier Rishonim. Following further, an interesting question which comes up in Halacha, which is dealt with by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the first section of his response to Minchas Shlomo. He says the interesting thing. He says that if one were to explore this comparison just one step further, you might ask the following question. What about when the odds are the following? Generally, we know that a person has to keep Shabbos irrespective of anything. But there's one exception which applies not only in Shabbos, but across the board, and that is bikuach nefesh. If a person is under a life-threatening circumstance, a person needs to do everything possible. The question is how to do it. Very interesting halachas. But a person is expected to do anything, everything necessary in order to save their life, even if it means violating Shabbos. So the question that the Rav Shlomo Zalman asks is, well, wait a second, what about when the options are the following? Where a person is going to undergo extreme embarrassment to the point of embarrassment in public, or Shmir Shabbos. If you're going to tell me that it is like being killed, then really, essentially, we should say that such a person should therefore perhaps, it's like being killed, for pikuach nefesh, on the level of embarrassment, a person perhaps should be mechalal Shabbos. Shlomo Zalman goes through an entire Shakel Vatariya, brings up all the Rishonim, the Shari Tshuva, the Tosas, the Meiri, and he says on the top of the next page, on page 4, second line, he says, starting from period, he says, Aval mimkol makom tzarech yom, atam lo yehi mutar lechalal Shabbos kedele limno halbonos pahaponim. Maybe you should be able to be mechalal Shabbos to avoid this kind of embarrassment, this real embarrassment. V'lichora hu kal v'chomer. Umay mutar lechalal Shabbos kedele hatzil adam imisa, kol shekene shor natzil me halbonos pahaponim, techomur yoyser misreifos gimel mefashois. He says that it should be a logical build up, if you think about it, because we see that Tamar was prepared to sacrifice not only herself. Think about it. how many people were going to die? Three souls. Who are the three souls? Herself and the twins that she was bearing at that time. She was prepared to sacrifice all three of them, not to embarrass somebody publicly, and therefore says perhaps the same thing should be for Shabbos. Going on down to the towards the end. About 6-7 lines up from the top. From the bottom, he says, "Aval kevon sherishonim loy pirshuken." Most of the Rishonim do not explain like the Meiri or the Maharam Shif on the Gemara, who disregard the Gemara as being more metaphoric or more figurative. Kain mashum shim hayso aimrim beferush sheniva la loyis tzadik hayso neemenes umatzeres bekach gimel nefashos. Tamar could have publicly got up there and said explicitly what had happened to her via Yehuda, and she does Lalpikein Loirat Stolegalois, and she didn't do that even though she'd lose her life and the life of the twins. Bekevon Delevala Meiri, Mea Meiri Pirshu Kulav is a Gemara Kipshut. And most of the people took the Gemara literally. Sorry, Chiyon, Martam Loyehei Mutter Lechalo Shabbos Lachzil Adam El Boros Ponim. Shalemes. Unbelievable. The Kol Sheken Shel Sheker V'Kozov, that a person should obviously defend themselves. Even at the stake, at the threat of losing Shabbos for this, unbelievable chiddush. She doesn't say this bottom line, but he says tzarechian. It should be the case, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Some of the later achrim are mefakpek, and they ask, the reason why a person has to give up their Shabbos in order to save a life. There are a number of options offered in the Gemara, but. Save the Shabbos for many Shabbos. There's a number of options offered in the Gemara and Yuma there, but they don't necessarily extend themselves to Albanas Pnei Chavera, so people ask on this Lahalacha. Very, very fascinating. So you see over here some of the Gedolei Achronim, just as an example, the Binyan Sion, Rav Yaakov Edlinger, we see the Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, who take this extremely seriously, who take this comparison to an extremely serious degree. And now the question is what do you say on the other side? Is there another side? So the Maharal Diskin was actually asked about this. And the Maharal Diskin responded, he asked, you know, what's the halacha? Is it Yarog Val Yavor in the case of embarrassing a person publicly? And he said it could not possibly be. And he said, for the very simple fact, look at the logic. What is the reason why we say Yarog Val Yavor by murder? Right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks about the three cardinal sins. Why is it that a person is expected to give up their life rather than to embarrass another person, rather than kill another person? Why in that case? So it says the Gemara, there's a logic. Are you going to tell me that your blood is redder than his? Meaning, how do you make the equation? How do you weigh up one life against another? Says about Al Diskin, that logic doesn't apply when it comes to the odds are your life or somebody else's embarrassment. Right? That comparison doesn't follow through. It's clear that the idea of Yarag Vayavra wouldn't apply itself that way. Further than that, Rav Asher Weiss asks the obvious question. When you have a case of a person who's a rotzeach, a person who's a murderer, and that comes along with it with a very important din, and that's called roideif. You see somebody running after Fred to kill him, you're expected to, everybody around that person is supposed to do, what are they supposed to do? If they're not able to stop the person, they must shoot the potential murderer. He's a roideif, he's running to kill somebody else, you need to put an end to that, even if it means to say killing the potential murderer. That's the halacha of roideif. There's no one in halacha who would even suggest that there's such a din of roideif when it comes to a person who's going to embarrass somebody else. It's clear that the comparison is not full. So says Rav Asher Weiss, so why are you taking it to the degree that you are already? That's the question Rav Asher Weiss asks. And he pushes it one step further. He says a very, very, very interesting chiddush. And that is that just before we mentioned the Chachma Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Kluger's chiddush. Now, we know that most of the Achronim disagree with this chiddush. It's not true. If you're walking along the water banks of a river, and you're a Zakim and a Lufi Kvodi, you're a person who's of higher stature, and by jumping into the river you're going to embarrass yourself, you have to take off your clothes, it'll be an incredible embarrassment, you're still expected to go save the other person. So now, wait a second, if we're going to take it for granted that you have to jump in the river no matter what the level of embarrassment you're going to undergo, and now you tell me that it's Yarog Val Yavor to embarrass somebody else, in other words, you have to sacrifice your own life rather than to embarrass another person, those are mutually exclusive options. It doesn't work together. How can you tell me that you have to embarrass yourself to save somebody else's life, but then you have to kill yourself not to embarrass somebody else? Says Rav Asher Weiss, it's clear that and he rereads Tosfos, he rereads the Shari Tshuva, pointing out the Shari Tshuva never really says Yarog Vayav explicitly in the case of Ritzicha. And he says, therefore, and a number of the Achronim also agree with this, that really essentially, that there's not going to ever be there's never going to be an expectation of self-sacrifice, even in this case. But perhaps, I think even more profoundly, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, Rabbi Rosh Yeshiva YU, has a beautiful article. I use a lot of his sources over here, combined with Rabbi Osher Weiss's sources. And Rabbi Daniel Feldman has a very interesting line in his article. I put it in source 12, and he says, even if theoretically martyrdom was called for, meaning if you're going to take the approach of the Binyan Sion, and perhaps even Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the variability present in all real-life situations makes it impossible to put such policy into practice. The unpredictability of the other's reaction and the sensitivities make actual self-sacrifice unfeasible. This is an extremely important point to bear in mind. A lot of our discussion is held in the ivory tower of theory. But in practicality, it wouldn't necessarily be so. The Gemara in Baba Kama says, in the 8th Perek, Perek Chovel, talks about all the different damages required to pay if a person injures another person. There are 5 damages. A person needs to pay for the damage caused, for the hospital bills, for the unemployment, for the pain, and then finally also for the boishes, for the embarrassment caused. But the boishes caused is a very subjective issue. You see, the Gemara says that it's the Mishnah says, it depends who is doing the embarrassing and who is the embarrassed person. If you're on the street and a beggar walks up to you and hits you in the face, it's shocking, But it isn't the biggest embarrassment. It's not going to be the thing that ruins your career. You know, you think to yourself and everybody around thinks, Nebuch, unfortunately, look, you know, this person's got probably some pain in their life, some issues, right? It's not a reflection on you. But let's say, you know, Donald Trump walks in the room and berates you. And I heard once a joke, there's a guy who was in an airport, and he sees over there, he sees Bill Gates, and he says, Bill, he says, I have the biggest favor to ask you. You know, I'm going to be in 2 minutes' time, I'm going to be in that restaurant over there just at the side having drinks with my boss. Could you just come over and say hi? So he's sitting there, and Bill Gates walks over and says, you know, John, how you doing? So he says, Bill, I'll speak to you later. Okay, I'll call you back afterwards. I'm just in the middle of a meeting. So if you think about meeting, like, you know, somebody like Bill Gates or Donald Trump embarrasses you, that's saying a lot more. But then it also depends who you are. Right, if you're a person who is a high in status, or you at least think you're higher in status, and somebody comes over to you and embarrasses you, that's a lot more hurtful than if you're perhaps, you know, the lower echelons of society. So it's very hard to get to a point. When the Gemara talks about the real murder type of embarrassment, it's talking about malbin penech aver barabim. You're making the person's face go white. Imagine what Yehuda is thinking. Yehuda is the newly established judge of this town, right? He's an immigrant. He's moved into this town. He's taken in charge. He's a person of status in the society, and he's issued a proclamation. And what happens is not only is he have to revoke it, but it becomes clearly evident that he is responsible for the situation. But more than that is the fact that he was put in such a situation was because of his own mistake of not allowing his youngest son to marry as he should have to marry Tamar. I mean, his whole career is falling apart right here, right over here. You can imagine what's going through his mind. What could have been going through his mind if Tamar had made it more explicit even. To get to such a situation is very hard to know in a real life situation. To call in the idea of Yara Val Yavor, even if you want to say that. That is what Rav Feldman says in a very low, very... Very, very, very. It makes a lot of sense. This suggestion that he's pointing out. One last very interesting point is that as the Gemara says and the Mishnah says in Avos, that a person who embarrasses another person loses their share in the world to come. Why so severe? Why should it be so severe? Why, in the end of the day, is it when it comes to murder, a person who actually murders, they get killed, but in the end of the day, they do get a share in the Olam Haba, in the world to come. Why is the difference? Says Rabbeinu Yonah himself, that in fact, when it comes to a person who did a murder, a person commits a terrible action, the whole society is horrified. Everybody's talking about it. It's disgusting. The person realizes the depth of the terrible action they did. So what they're going to do is they're going to sit there with contrition and they're going to do a terrible cheshbon and nefesh. By the time they're put on death row, they're going to have done a sufficient shuva and they're going to go to Olam Haba, perhaps, if they do it sufficiently. But a person who embarrasses another person publicly, nobody necessarily calls foul. Right? This happens, unfortunately, on a day-to-day basis. What's going to happen is you're going to have a person who's going to keep on rationalizing what they did, never actually ever improving. And finally, the Pnei Yehoshua, very famously quoted in a number of places, says that when it comes to embarrassing a person, when you're looking at a person and you think that you have the right to embarrass them, to shame them in public, you're essentially ignoring the largest part of them, and that is their Tzelem Elokim, the fact that they bear God's spiritual element in this world. They're expressing an element of God. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to ignore that? I'll ignore your part of that in the world to come too. I'm going to ignore the fact that you're endowed with a spiritual element which will live on, and therefore a person doesn't have a chelek in the world to come as well. This shows you that, once again, the incredible power that a person has, and unfortunately in this instance, where a person can use it for the negative. And this is food for thought for further discussion on this very interesting topic of the degree a person needs to take not to embarrass another person. Thank you so much, have a wonderful day.